Today, Shir's and Masechta Menachos on Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin 7 lines from the top of the Yomid, in the middle of the line, with the words V'kama Amo Beinanis. Our Gemara is referring back to what we have learned on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph from the Mishnah in Kalim, Perik Yud Zayin Mishnah Yud, where Rab Meir Shita is that most of the Amos that were used in connection with the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan were Amo Beinanis, with a few exceptions. And now the Gemara wants to know how large is the Amo Beinanis. Now, by the very name Amo Beinanis, which means the medium Amo, this would indicate that there is a smaller Amo and there is a larger Amo. We've learned before that there was an Amo of 5 Tvachim, and we will learn in a few lines that there was also an Amo that was larger than 6 Tvachim. The Gemara here wants to know how much is that medium Amo, the Kama Amo Beinanis, which Rav Meir held most of the Amos in the Mishkan used the Amo Beinanis. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shisha Tvachim. It was exactly 6 Tvachim. Amar Rav Yosi Bar Avin, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We learnt like this in our Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Aleph, because we learned there that Rav Meir Oimer HaShulchan Orchoy Shneim Oser V'rach by Shisha. The Shulchan was 12 Tvachim long and it was 6 Tvachim wide. We know from Parshas Truma, the Torah tells us that the Shulchan was 2 Amas long and 1 Amma wide. Therefore, it comes out that we see from our Mishnah that the Shita of Rav Meir, Amo Beinanis, how much is that? That's 6 Tvachim. That's why the length of the Shulchan was 12 Tvachim, because it was 2 Amos, and the width of the Shulchan was 6 Tvachim, because it was 1 Amos. So we have a Raya from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Mechlal Dahavya Amo Denefisha Mino. If you're telling me that this was the Amo Beinanis, this would indicate that there was an Amo that was even larger than the regular Amo of 6 Tvachim. Is that possible? Says the Gemara in, yes. And I'll bring you a proof. What none we learned in one Mishnah earlier, before we quoted Rav Meir in Kalim Perik Yud Zayin Mishnah Yud. In Perik Yud Zayin Mishnah Tes in Masechta Kalim, we learned the following in that Mishnah. Shtei Amos Hoyu B'Shushan Abira. As Rashi explains, that on top of the eastern shar, the eastern gate, there was, in the Beis HaMikdash, a room that was called, a chamber that was called Shushan Habira. The Gemara, in a few lines, will explain why it was known as Shushan Habira, the capital of Shushan. But in that chamber, there were 2 Amos, Achas Al Keren Mizrachas Tzvainis. One was placed on the northeastern side of that chamber, Va'achas Al Keren Mizrachas Tzvainis. And the other Amo was placed on the southeastern side. Sha'al Keren Mizrachas Tzvainis, the one on the northeastern side, Yisera Al Shal Moshe Chatzi Etzba. It was larger than the Amo of Moshe by a half an Etzba. Now, since we explained that an Amo is 6 Tvachim, a Tefach is 4 Etzbois, so the Amo of Moshe was 24 Etzbois. This one that was on the northeastern side of the chamber of the Shushan Habira was a half inch larger than Moshe, so it was 24 and a half Etzbois. Shal Keren Mizrachas Dreimis, the Amo that was on the southeastern part of the Shushan Habira, Hoysa Yisera Olea, it was even larger than the one on the northeastern side, Chatzi Etzba, another half Etzba, Nimtzas, comes out, Yisera Shal Moshe Etzba, the one in the southeast, since it was a half Etzba larger than the one in the northeast, and the one in the northeast was a half inch larger than Moshe's Amo, so it comes out, in totality, the one on the southeast was 1 etzba larger than the Amo of Moshe. So if Moshe's was 24 etzbois, which is 6 tvachim, then the one on the southeast was 25 etzbois. As the Gemara, V'lomo Amru Achas Gadol V'Achas Katana, why was it in fact necessary to have the one of Moshe and to have even a larger one. Kidei sheyehu ha'umne neitlum b'ktanum achzirim b'gdoilum. Why wasn't it sufficient just to have Moshe's of six tvachim? Because, as Rashi explains, if they contracted someone to, let's say, build a wall for the Beis HaMikdash, they would tell the worker that he should produce, using the measurement of the Amma of Moshe of six tvachim. But, in fact, they were required to produce material equaling an Amma, the larger Amma. Why was this done? Kidei shelo yavoyu lidei mila. So that they should not come to have Hanoah from Hegdish and be over on the Isser of Me'ila. How would that happen? Because if they would do the work exactly as they had been instructed to use the Am of Moshe, if they would not have an obligation to, in fact, make the larger Amma, then it could come out that they would produce less than an Amma, slightly less than the Amma of Moshe. So as a hedge against that, they, in fact, had to return the materials and the work using the larger Amma. So this would be a hedge that even if they would come a little less than the larger Amma, it would still meet the minimum requirements of the Amma of Moshe. And therefore, they would not come to have Hanoah from Hegdish. Now, the top Tosfos says that really what the Gemara says here, Shelo Yavoyu Lidei Me'ila, is Lav Dafke. That it's not really precise. Why? Because Tosfos says, the Hegdish Shavim Mana, Shechilu Al Shavim Pruta Mechulul. The halacha is that if you go through a chilul process, if you go through a redemption process, even if you do not give the exact amount that you're supposed to, you take something that's worth a mana and all you give is a pruta, the halacha is that it is no longer hegdish. It becomes mechulul. It becomes secular. It doesn't have kedusha anymore, even though you gave less than you were supposed to. So what are we worried about here? That these workers who have been contracted to do work for the Beis HaMikdash will be taking money, and they will not be supplying the correct material and work that they were contracted to do, and that will be Me'ila, but they are going to give some material. They're going to give most of the material. So it's that small amount that they're not giving perfectly would not have a din of Me'ila. The money that they would be taking from Hegdish would be Mechul. They would have a right to take that money. There would be no Isser Me'ila. So Tosfos says, Ela Shaloi Hayu writes in Lihanis Mishal Hegdish. Ein Echanami, there's no Isser Me'ila. But after all, they didn't want to take from Hegdish money that really they were not supposed to take, and thereby have Hanoah from Hegdish, even though technically they would not be over on the Isser of Me'ila. So explains Tosfos. Continues the Gemara. Good. You've explained why we have the Amma of Moshe and we have a larger Amma, but Vitarti Lomali, why do I need an Amma that was 25 etzbos, and why do I need an Amma that was 24 and a half etzbos? If all you need is something, a hedge against Me'ila, then you could have one bigger. Take the one of 24 and a half, take the one of 25. Why do you need both? The Gemara answers, Chada l'kaspa dava. One was when the contract was in silver and gold, v'chada l'binyana, and one was for other building materials. In other words, by kesev and zov, there the hedge was a minimum hedge, because if they'd have to supply always an etzba, a finger's width of material, more than they were really getting paid for, they would have a big loss. So therefore, all that was required of them is a half a etzba. Whereas when it came to cheaper building materials there, the hedge was a larger one, and therefore it was one etzba larger for a total of 25 etzbois. Now, Tosfos, in the second Tosfos, tells us that which of the two larger amois were found on the northeast corner of the Shushan HaBir, and which one was on the southeast corner? Tosfos says the one which was used to measure gold and silver, that was on the northeast corner. V'simonech, says Tosfos, the pasuk in Iyov, mitzafon zohav ye'eseh, that the gold will come from the north. So whenever we have to do something with gold, it should be on the north side, and that's why that amma, which was the smaller amma of 24 and a half its boys, that was on the northeast side, and the one for building materials was on the southeast side. Continues the Gemara, Tananhas, and we learned there in the Mishnah in Midas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, Shar HaMizrach Olav Shushan HaBir Tzura, that on the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a drawing of the capital city of Paras, of Persia, of Shushan, my time. Why was it drawn there? There's a machloikis between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Chad Omer once says, Kadesh Shiye du Mehechen Bo, they should know from where they come. As Rashi explains, they should have Hakoras HaToiv, that Paras allowed them to leave Paras and to return to Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. They should have Hakoras HaToiv. The Rabbeinu Gershom, 4 or 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud, says, Sheyakiru benissen, she'asa lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shemisham olu, kishenasen len kairash rishus, la'alois livus nabayis. They should recognize, they should always be cognizant of the fact that they experienced miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put as the head of the Persian Empire, Kairash, who allowed the Jews to leave Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. They should recognize the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. V'chad Omar, and the second man the Omar says, we don't know which said what, Kidei Shetei Emes Malchus Aland. The reason that there was a drawing of Shushan HaBira was in order that they should remember that they're still subjects of the Persian Empire. They should have fear of the Malchus. Am Rabbi Anai, La'olam tehei emes Malchus alecha. A person should always have fear of the Malchus. And in the case of the Jews who were returning to Eretz Yisrael, they shouldn't rebel. They should have this fear on them. Where do you see that a person should always have emes Malchus? We learn it from Moshe and Pari, Shenemar. Moshe told Pari, V'yer du kol avadecha elo elai v'shtachavu li lemar, that by Makas Bechairis, all your avadim will come and bow down to me. V'ilu l'day like Karmelei. He didn't say, you, Pari, and your avadim. In fact, as Rashi brings down the Pasuk, V'yokum Pari Lila, that by Makas Bechairis, Pari himself got up at night and told Moshe and the Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. So why didn't Moshe say you and your avadim? Because he had emes hamalchus. Because even Moshe, as he's leaving Mitzrayim, he's mekayim that inyan of having ema, fear for the king. Rabbi Yochanan Amracha. Rabbi Yochanan learns it from a different pasuk. Shenamar, this is a pasuk concerning Eliyo Anavi and Achav. Achav was the evil king who was the head of Yisrael, of the head of the ten shvatim. And the pasuk says, "V'yad Hashem hoisa Eliyo," the hand of Hashem was upon Eliyo Hanavi. "V'yishanes masnav," and he girded his loins. "V'yoratz lifnei Achav," and he ran in front of Achav ad bo'achi Yisraela, until he came to Yisraela. There was no one else together with Achav at that time, and Eliyo felt that this is not an honor for the king, even though he's a melech Russia, and therefore Eliyo ran in front of Achav that he should have someone with him, again to demonstrate ema of the Malchus, the respect and awe for the king. Now, since we had a machloikis between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the Gemara now brings another machloikis. And this concerns, as Rashi explains, the river that will come out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim La'asid Lavoi, and a nisim will take place, and trees will grow on both sides on the banks of this river, and the luscious fruits will come out of those trees, and also the leaves will be medicinal, and they will be able to cure people. this morning I read in the Hamodia an interesting Malbim in the Pasuk in Zechariah, Paragimel, Gimel, Pasuk Ches, when the Pasuk says, Ki hinani mevi es avdi tzemach, and the Malbim wants to know, why is Mashiach called tzemach, a sprout? And the Malbim answers, because although, like a tree that is perhaps cut down, and it's totally submerged underground, but eventually that tree sprouts forth, that's the word tzemach, it sprouts forth, and it delivers luscious fruit and foliage, so too, this is a mashal for Mashiach. Mashiach, at present, we don't see Mashiach. He's underground, but lasid lavoi, b'mher v'yameinu, Mashiach will be a tzemach. He will sprout forth and deliver tremendous Yeshua's salvations to Klal Yisrael. So perhaps I was thinking that this description of a river coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim with trees on both sides, with fruit and medicinal leafage, perhaps that's all a mashal for the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mher v'yameinu. Continues the Gemara. V'aleo l'srufa. The leaves of the trees will be for medicinal purposes. Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dimi. Again, there's a machloikis between them. Chad Omar, they take the word trufa and they say that it stands for lahatir peh, that it is opening up, it is curing a mouth. So one says lahatir peh shalmala, that the word trufa, which is a nutrican, a contraction for the words lahatir peh, which mouth, shalamala, the mouth of an elam, of a person who's not able to speak. If he will eat those leaves, he will get cured and he'll be able to speak. V'chad omer, and one of these mandomrim say lahatir peh shalmala, shalmata, it refers to the opening the mouth of the bottom, and I was referring to the rechem, the womb of a woman, an akora, a woman who can't have children. If she'll eat these leaves, that will be a medicinal refuah for her, and she will be able to conceive and have children. Itmor, we have learned, chiski amr lahatir peh ilmim, to open up the mouth of those who are mute, who cannot speak. Bar kapar amr lahatir peh akores, to permit and enable women to conceive and bear children. And this is really the exact same machloikis that we just had between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, except in this machloikis between Chiski and Bar Kapora, it's spelled out clearer what is meant by Peh Shalamalo and Peh Shalamato, that it's referring to Ilmim and to Akaros. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we have learned, now we're going to be speaking about the Lechem HaPanim, and we're going to be speaking about two psukim in Vayikra Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav. And we find in those psukim a number of references to numbers. Pasuk Hey says, Lakachta Soilas, you should take the fine flour of a fisoy, so you should bake it, Shteim Esrei Chalois, 12 Chalois, Shnei Esronim Yiyah HaChalachot, each challah should be made up of two Esronim. And then in Pasuk Vav it says, V'samtoisom Shtayim Arachas, you should make them into two stacks, Sheish HaMarechas, each stack should have six in each stack, Ala Shulchan HaTorah Lefnei Hashem. Says the Gemara, Ilu Nemar, V'lokachto Soilis V'afisoisos Shteim Esrei Chalos, V'samtoisom Shtayim Arachas. So if it would have had the numbers 12 and the two stacks, v'loy number 6, but it wouldn't have had the number 6. The Gemara wants to know why you need all these numbers. If it would have left out 6, Hayisi Aymer, I would have said, all I need is a total of 12, and I need two stacks, so I could have one stack, achashal arba, one of 4, v'achashal shmoina, and one of 8, and I'll get my number 12, and I'll have two stacks. L'kach ne'emer, 6. That's why the Torah says, no, that each stack has to be 6. And you can't make it 8 and 4. It has to be 6 and 6. V'ilu nemer shtei marochos sheish hamareches. V'loy nemer shtei esrei. And if it would have said that you should have 2 stacks and 6 in each stack, so I figured out that there's 12. Why did the Torah have to tell me that I need shtei esrei? I could have learned the psukim, that these words in the pasuk, in a different way. I would have said, you know what these words, shtei marachos, sheish hamareches, mean? Shalosh shal sheish sheish. That there are three stacks, and each stack has six. Why? Because I would learn the pasuk as follows, Rashi explains. Shteim marochos. There are two marochos of sheish, of six. And then there's hamareches. There's another one of six. There's a total of three. Or Rashi has another girsa. Shaloish shaloish. I would have said there's three stacks of three each. Why? Because I would have read the pasuk like this. Shteim marochos. And those two stacks together equal sheish. And then besides that, you have one more hamareches. You have another one of three. So according to the first Pshat and Rashi, instead of 12, I would have 3 times 6 is 18. According to the second Pshat and Rashi, instead of 12, I would have 3 times 3 is 9. But I wouldn't have 12. Lekach nemer shteim esrei. That's why the Torah had to tell me I need 12. V'ilu nemer shteim esrei chalois umarochois, as Rashi says. If the pasuk would have said, v'nasata oisom marochois, Hamareches ala shulchan, and I would have left out the six and the two. V'loy nemer shtayim v'sheish. I just would have had the number 12 to work with. Hayisi oimer. I would have said, how do you get to the number 12 with stacks? Shloisha shalarba arba. You have three stacks, each one of four, and that'll give you a total of 12. Lekach nemer shtayim v'sheish. That's where it tells me, no, I need two stacks, and each stack has to have six in it. Ha ad shlo yomru gimel makros halalu lo lamadnu. So if it wouldn't have had all these three numbers, namely 12 and 2 and 6, I would not have figured out exactly what the Torah wanted me to do. Ha ketzad. What exactly does the Torah want me to do now that I have all these numbers? Noisin shtayim marochai shal sheish sheish. He makes two stacks, each stack of six. Vim nosan achas shal arba v'achas shal shemayna lo yotze. If he does one of four and one stack of eight, he's not yotze. Because the Torah tells me I need a total of 12, but I need two stacks and each stack of six. If I have eight and four, I'm not yotze. Now the Gemara says, what about if I have shtayim shal sheva sheva? I have two stacks, each one of them has seven. What is the din? So we have to preface this question by explaining that, of course, the two additional lechems that he is that they are going to put here cannot be made from the 24 shrinim. We learned in the pasuk that there has to be shteim esrei chaloi shnei esroinim yia chalachot. Each chal has to be two esroinim. So if he's going to take away from those two esroinim and from each chal of the 12, there's a total of 24 esroinim, and he's going to use some of those esroinim for additional two chalas to give you two stacks of seven, it'll come out that in the original 12 chalas, which is 24 esroinim, he'll be missing 24 esroinim. So that will puzzle it. Then there wouldn't be a question. It must be that he used 24 esroinim for the 12 chalas, so they are kosher. And now he took other soilus, other flour, and he made an additional two chalas. That's the Gemara's question. And the Meforshim explained that, of course, he's going to be over on Baltoisev for doing this. The question is, after he was over on Baltoisev, is he in fact Yoitzeh the Lechem upon him or not? So Rebbe says, yes, he's Yoitzeh. Why? Royin Esel Yoinik Yilena. We look at the top one, the seventh one, as if it's not here. And therefore, you have the minimum, what you need, of six on each stack, and you're Yoitzeh. You are Yoitzeh, even though you were over on Baltoisev by adding the seventh. Ask the Gemara, but I have a different question. The Pasuk says, in the next Pasuk, Zayin, Vayikra Chavdal Zayin, V'nasata al ha-ma'arocha levoina zaka v'hoitz l'lechem laskora ishe l'ashem. So the Pasuk says over there that it has to be V'nasata al ha-ma'arech, that on top of the stack you have to put the frankincense, the levona. And you don't have it on. You have a chatzitza. You have a separation because you have a seventh lechem there, and on that seventh lechem you're putting the lavona. You have a separation. Amar le Rav Chizda Rav Nuna, so Rav Chizda said to Rav Nuna, v'amri lo Rav Nuna Rav Chizda, and some say it was Rav Nuna who said it to Rav Chizda, Rebbe l'tamei d'amar al b'samach, as we've had earlier in the Masech, the Rebbe Shita is that the word al doesn't always mean on, it can also mean close by. And here we can have two understandings of what Rebbe means. One pshat is that Rebbe will paskin like the sheet of Abishol that we had in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Aleph, who holds that the bezichin, the spoons which had in them the levoina, they were put not on top of the stacks, but they were put on the shulchan itself between the stacks. So Rebbe could paskin like Abishol, and al means next to it, but not on it. Not on the marechas, next to the marechas. A second pshat in Rebbe could be that ein chanami, the levoina, was on top of the stack. Your question was, there's a chatzitz of the seventh lechem between the levoina and the other six breads. There's no problem with the chatzitza because Rebbe requires all you need is al besamach. It has to be close by. It is close by. And there's no problem if I have the seventh lechem in between. Desanya, how do we know this is Rebbe Shita? We learned in a brisa, Rebbe Yomer, v'nasata ala marechas levoina zaka. What does that mean? Al besamach, it should be nearby. Atoimer al besamach, you say al means nearby, or ena ela al mamish. Maybe it means like normally you interpret the word al to mean on top of. Kishu oimer. I'll bring you a proof that al could mean besamach near. It says in the pasuk concerning the peroches, which was a separation between the kodesh, the heichal, and the kodesh hakadoshim, v'sakosa, you should place al ha'orin es ha'peroches, on the orin, the peroches. And now here, the peroches was not put on top of the orin, it was put near the orin, heavy yomer. So you see clearly from this pasuk that al, besamach, that al means it was put nearby. So too, when we speak about the levoina on top of the marechas, it doesn't have to mean mamish on top of the six breads. It could be next to it, as we said, two pshatim, either on the shulchan itself or on the seventh one, and it's not a problem of being a mechitza because I still have al, which means, according to Rebbe, besamach. Continues the Gemara explaining the last words of our Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Aleph, which stated, Kol ha-kelim shayu b'migdash orchon la-orcha shabayis. All the kelim, this means the menorah, the shulchan, which were in the Beis HaMikdash, their length was equal to the length of the Beis HaMikdash. Let us make a short hagdama to the next Gemara, which will be Nageya, to the next Amid that we'll be learning. We find in Melachim Aleph, Perik Vav, Pasuk Beis, the Torah tells us the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash that Shloima built, the first Beis HaMikdash. V'abayis asher bara melech Shloima l'Hashem, shishim amah orka, it was 60 amas long, and it was, that means it was going from east to west. You entered through the gate in the east, and you proceeded to the west towards the Heichal, which was the Kodesh, and then towards the Pereches, which is the behind that, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then it says, V'esrim Rachboy. It was 20 Amos in width. That was from Tzofen Ladorim, from north to south. And then the Pasuk concludes, U'shloshim Amakim Asoy, and 30 Amos was its height. So the dimensions are 60 long, 20 wide, 30 high. Now, a third of the area of the Beis HaMikdash was given over to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 wide and a third of 60 of the length. Again, so it was a square of 20 by 20. The Aron was in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Alpines, as we'll see in Tosfos on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, that Makom Aron Eina Min Amida, that the Aron didn't take up any room, and that's why from every side of the Aron to the wall facing that side, there was 10 Amos. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a stone wall, which was called the Amatraxon. In the middle of that wall, there was an opening which for tznius purposes, Rashi tells us, was covered with a peroches, and it was in the middle of that wall, and covering that opening was the peroches. The oron had budim, it had these poles, which came out from the oron and went all the way to the peroches, and it jutted out from the peroches, as we are going to learn on Amud Beis, like the breasts of a woman, kimin shnei dadei isha, so they were, the poles were recognizable facing the peroches from the heichal. We could see the poles jutting out from the kodesh hakodashim towards the eastern part of the Beis HaMikdash. Now let us continue in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Kol HaKem Shev HaMikdash Orchon La'orcha Shabbais. All the Kem of the Mikdash were set up, their length was equal to the length of the Bayis. In other words, they were set up in an east-western direction. Chutz, the only exception to this, Me'oren, was the Oren. She'orchoi, its length, the Oren was 2.5 amas long, L'rochva Shabbais. Those 2.5 amas were not going in an east-westerly direction, but rather they were going from north to south, the width of the Beis HaMikdash. V'kacha yamunach, and that's how the Oren was placed, north-south. The length was north-south. V'kach hoyobadim munachim, and so were the badim, those poles also placed. Ask the Gemara immediately, my comer, what are you saying? What does the Gemara mean to ask? The Gemara is asked that we're going to learn soon that the badim of the Oren were east-west. They were to the length of the Beis HaMikdash. And from what you just said, it seems that the Oren was north-south and the bottom were north-south. That's not correct. The bottom were on the width of the Oren and they were going east-west. That the width of the Oren was going from east to west and that's where the bottom were. So how could you say, V'kacho yamunach, v'kacho yabarav munachan? So the Gemara says, what it means is different. Hachi karma, this is what it means. Kacho yamunach. The Oron was going from north to south. Its length was north to south. You know why? Middebadov kachoy menachin. Since the Badim were going not north to south, they were going east to west, so that forces us to say that the Oron had to go from north to south. Why does the Badim going from east to west force us to say that the Oren itself, the length of the Oren, was going north to south? That we will see on Amud Beis. But now the Gemara wants to know, Ubadav Minolan, how do you know, in fact, that the Badim were going from east to west? Disanya, because we learned in the following Brisa. The Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, Perik Ches, Pasuk Ches, that which is speaking about the Bayis Rishon, and Rashi asks that perhaps here we're speaking about Bayis Sheni, and Rashi says it's impossible because in the Bayis Sheni there was no Aron. But rather we have to say it's speaking about the Bayis Rishon, which had an Amatraxon, but there was in the center of the Amatraxon, as we explained before, a small Peroiches, not covering the whole width of the Beis HaMikdash, but in that opening in the stone wall of the Amatraxon. And that is, as the Gemara is going to explain now, where the Badim jutted out from that Peroiches. The Sanya, Vayarichu HaBadim, the Badim extended. Yachol loy hoyu noigim b'Peroiches. You would think that the Badim did not touch the Peroiches, Talmud Loimer Vayaro, that you were able to see them standing on the other side of the Peroiches in the Heichal. You were able to see the bottom. Eva Yuro, if you were able to see the Yochliyom Mekaran b'Peroiches v'Yaitzen, I would think that maybe they tore through the Peroiches and you could see the actual bottom coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Talmud Loimer, Loye Ro, that you were not able to see them. Loye Ro Achutze, they were not able to be seen outside. How is this possible? So as we turn to Dav Tzadik Ches Amid Beis, Doichkin Ubaltim Beproiches, they pushed against and protruded from the Pereiches. So they were able to be seen because you saw the protrusion, but they were not able to be seen because you didn't see the bottom themselves. They were behind the Pereiches. V'doimen, those bottom were comparable to Kemin Shnei Dada Isha, like the two breasts of a woman. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Tzror Hamor Doidili, a bundle of Mira, that's one of the spices of the Ketoris, is my beloved to me. And this bundle is lodged bein shadai yolin. It is lodged between my breasts. In other words, a woman loves her fragrances and she'll wear them next to her heart. And so too, the Mefarshim explain that the most precious korban that Klal Yisrael brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ketoris that was brought on Yom Kippur. And where was the ketoris brought? Between the badim of the aron, in that space. So that's tzror amor doidili ben shada yolin. That is the place where the best korban that Klal Yisrael brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found. And we see the Pasuk in Shir Shirim is comparing that to the shadai, to the breasts of a woman. And since they were sticking out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and protruding into the Kodesh, so they were Doma to the Shadayim of an Isha. And Rashi further on Ahmed Aleph tells us again that we shouldn't think that this is happening by Shani. As we mentioned, there was no Oren. And also the Badim of the Oren, from Rashi says, from the time of Yoshio, were hidden, as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma. And then Rashi adds that this pasuk that we're darshening, this whole inyan, is taken from Malachim Aleph, and there clearly it's speaking about the bias Rishon and not the bias Sheni. Now, Taisvis here, on the top Taisvis, let's learn it together. Doichin Ubaltin, says Taisvis, as Rashi tells us also in Ahmed Aleph, Maisa Nesaya, this was a miracle. The Orin Be'emtza Kodesh HaKadoshim Hoya. The Orin was in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ulechold Sad Hoya Esther Amos. Every direction from the Orin to every adjacent wall was 10 Amos. Umokam Orin Enimen Amida. Kedisim Perakam and Megillah. The Gemara Megillah tells us that the Orin miraculously did not take up any space. The Imkain, Afil Lamandi Yomer Shabbadim, Nishmatim Litzad Echot. There's a machloikus whether the badim were movable or at all. And even, says Tais, according to the Mandi Yomer, who holds that the badim were movable, you were able to pull them towards the pareiches, heich magim out of pareiches, but how could they reach to the pareiches? Holoi hoya orchan eser. They were not 10 amas long. Tais doesn't give a source that they weren't 10 amas long. We don't know exactly how long they were. Someone told me they saw in the Masifta Gemara, I didn't have a chance to see it myself, that there's a Mandi Yomer who holds that they were 12 Amos. If they were 12 Amos, then you don't have to say what Taisus says, that it's a Ness. Taisus definitely does not go like that Shita. Taisus says that they were less than 10 Amos, and that's why Taisus says, Ela yedei nes ericho abadim. It was only through a miracle that those poles were lengthened. Ad shehayu doichin ubolten v'nirin kishnei dadei isha. And all this was done l'chibosin shel Yisrael, for the love of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show that I accept your most fragrant ketores, the most fragrant korban that you, Klal Yisrael, bring to me. And where is that brought? Just like a woman wears the fragrance on her bosom, so too, Bein Shaddai Yolin, this korban is being brought between the badim, which are compared to the shadayim of an isha, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is makabalit to show his love of Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Uminolon the badim lepusya de orin havayasli. So we've proven that the badim were from east to west. What we haven't proven is the link that the badim were east to west because they were on the width of the aron. Dilma l'archet aron aviyasi. The Gemara asks, okay, You prove that the bottom were east to west sticking out from the Pereiches, but maybe the Oren itself was from east to west, and the bottom were along the length of the Oren and not along the width of the Oren. How did you tell me on Amud Aleph that since the bottom are from east to west, that must be a proof that the Oren itself, the length was from north to south, maybe the length of the Oren itself was from east to west? Amar Rav Yehuda, no. Because if the Oren was from east to west also, and the bottom were along the length of the Oren, then how much space was there between one pole and another in front of the Oren? If, as we're going to learn, two people stood in the front of the Oren, two people stood in the back of the Oren, and each one had one of the bottom on their shoulder in front of the Oren and behind the Oren when they would move the Oren in the Mishkan, for example. So how much room was there between one pole and another if the bottom were along the length of the Oren, then you would only have 1.5 amas, the width of the Oren. Amar of Yehuda, Trey Gavri, Ba'amsu Palgo, Lemistagilu. You cannot put two men in 1.5 amas. There's no room for them. Therefore, we have to say, since we've proven that the bottom stuck out and they were from east to west, then we'll have to say that the Oren was north to south. The length of the Oren was north to south. So when they were carrying the bottom on their shoulders, they were, the Gemara takes on as a Dover Pashut that they must have been standing between the bottom, although the Gemara doesn't bring us a source for that, but the Gemara is taking that on as a given. They were standing between the bottom. So if the bottom were put on the width of the Oron, so then how much room was there between one pole and another? There was the length of the Oron separated one pole to the other. That's 2.5 amas. Two people can stand within 2.5 amas. But if the bottom are on the length of the Oron, and the Oron itself is from east to west and not north to south, then there's only 1.5 amas between the two poles. And there, two people can't stand. They're 1.5 amas. So we've proven that the bottom were east to west, and the length of the Oron itself was north to south. Frag the Gemara, who told you there were four people, two in the front and two in the back? How do you know they carried it with four? Maybe they only carried it with two, and one in the front, one in the back. So there's, in 1.5 amas is enough room for one person, and he'll carry the bottom on each of his shoulders. No, there were four people, the Chsiv, the Nasu, the Kohasim. The Kohasim who carried the Mishkan, they traveled, so kohasim is a plural tray too. Nisei amigdash nami tray, carriers of the migdash. That's also another two. So there's a total of four. So therefore, it has to be that the bottom were east to west, and the length of the Oren was north to south. Tana Rabbanan, we have the Rabbanan have taught us asar shulchanos asa shloima melech. Shloima melech made 10 shulchanos. Why he made these 10? We will see in a few moments. But he made 10 shulchanos. Shenemer, vayah shulchanos asor. He made 10 shulchanos. Vayonach behechel. He put them in the hechel. Chamisha mimin. 5 on the right side of chamisha mismon, 5 on the left side. And we don't know the right and left of what. V'im term, if you're going to say chamisha mimin ha-pesach. Chamisha mismon ha-pesach. 5 from the right of the doorway. And 5 from the left of the doorway. And the doorway was in the center of the Beis HaMikdash. Im kein, matzinu shesh shulchan bedarm. It'll come out that 5 of the tables are on the south side of the door. Vatayram Rav Shulchan Titnat Salat Safon. You should put the shulchan on the north part of the Beis Hamikdash and of the Mishkan. If there were 10 tables and the length of the 10 tables were 2 amas each, so that was 20 amas. So then, if you're going to put 5 on one side and 5 on the other side of the doorway, so it'll come out that all the 5 were on the south side, and they can't be on the south side. All 10 have to be on the north side. Ella, Shal Moshe be'emtza. You know what was in the middle? The table of Moshe was in the middle. Chamisha miyaminai v'chamisha mismaili. There were five tables to the right of Moshe's table and five to the left. Exactly how the tables were located, we're going to learn at the bottom of the Amud, but the Gemara is going to come out that they were not put at all on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Rabbanan, Eser Menoris Asher Shloime. Shloime made 10 Menoris, Shenemar. Vayas is a Menoris Zov Eser Kemishbat. He made 10 Menoris out of gold. Vayitin Behechel, he put in the Hechel, Chamisha Mimin, 5 from the right, Chamisha Mismol, 5 from the left. Vim, tell me if you're going to say Chamisha Mimin HaPesach, the same Gemara as we had by the Shulchan. If you're going to say 5 are on the right side of the door, Chamisha Mismol HaPesach, and 5 are on the left side of the door, Im Kematzinu Menoira Betzafen. Then it's going to come out that you're going to have 5 menorahs on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says, "Ves haMenorah noicha shulchan." The shulchan's on the north side, and opposite the shulchan is the menorah. So the menorah had to be on the south side. Ella, it's not the door that was in the middle of the ten. Ella shal Moshe b'amtza. The menorah of Moshe was in the middle. Chamisha miyaminah v'chamisha mismaila. There were 5 on the right side and 5 on the left side. The Das Zakenim Mibala Toisus in Parshas Truma Per Kofei Pasuk Lamed Aleph tells us that there's a remez in the Torah for the 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech would make, because in that pasuk the pasuk says Teose HaMenorah, and the word Teose says the Das Zakenim Zelu Shainai Mole Yud. It's Tuf Yud Ayin Sin. Hey, it has an extra yud. Remez, la'eser menorah she'asid shlomo la'asos. This is a remez, says the Das Kanim, to the 10 menorahs that we just learned about that Shlomo is going to make in the future. Now, why did Shlomo make these 10 menorahs and the 10 shulchanos? So the Meshech Chochmah, at the beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh, says a very remarkable pshat. And the Meshech Chochmah says that in Moshe's time, there were two aspects to the light of the menorah. One was a personal benefit that Moshe himself got out of the menorah, because he had light. The pasuk starts in Tetzaveh, Vayikru Elecha Shemen Zayizach. You should take it for you, meaning that although the Ribbono Shel appeared to Moshe only when there was light in the daytime, but if there was light because of the menorah at night, so the light gives simcha to a person, he can be mekabel the shechina only through simcha. So the light of the menorah served as a benefit for Moshe that he could receive nevuah even at night if he had the light of the menorah in the Mishkan. It also was a chayk, because the Gemara says, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need light? Hashem led Klal Yisrael through the Midbar with light. Hashem, chila oira hutzar, does Hashem need our light? That's what the pasuk concludes there in Parshat Tetzaveh. Chukas oilam l'dor v'secha me'es b'nei Yisrael. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, who don't have a benefit of nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu did, for them it's a chayk. So in the Mishkan, one menorah sufficed for light, personal use of Moshe, and it sufficed for the chayk. When it came to the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo, over there, the Nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash, had the Ruach HaKodesh, which was missing from the second Beis HaMikdash, because these menorahs were not found in the second Beis HaMikdash. There, they only had one menorah, and that's what the Meshech Chochmah is explaining here. In the time of Shlomo, there was a necessity for light so that there could be Ruach HaKodesh even at night as well. And for that, based on the dimensions of the Mishkan and based on the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, you needed more than one menorah, because the Beis HaMikdash was that much greater than the Mishkan. How much greater was it? So the Mishkan, the dimensions were 30 long by 10 wide by 10 high, which gives you a total of 10 by 30 is 300, by 10 is 3,000 amos. Whereas the Beis HaMikdash was 60 by 20, 60 long, 20 wide, and 30 high. 60 by 20 is 1,200, times 30 is 36,000. So the Mishkan is 3,000 total amos, and the Beis HaMikdash is 36,000. That's a ratio of 12 to 1. So really, says the Meshech Chochmah, we should have needed enough light to put 12 menorahs. However, Shlomo only made 10, plus Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah is 11. Why did he, in fact, not make 12 if he wants to have enough light to fill up the total volume of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is because since we're going to have 5 and 5, how exactly they were configured, we're going to see in the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud. But it's going to come out that you had the unit of Moshe's menorah, and then you had 2 units of 5. And therefore, if it would have been, besides Moshe's menorah, there would have been another 11, then there wouldn't be 2 exact units of 5, 5. It would be 6 and 5, and they wanted to make it symmetrical, so therefore they made it 5 and 5. So Shlomo HaMelech made an additional 10, plus Moshe's 11. It almost was the ratio of 1 to 12, which is the ratio of 3,000 to 36,000 of the Mishkan to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is because in the first Beis HaMikdash, they required light, and the light for Nevuah, for Ruach HaKodesh, necessitated more menorahs. The Vayikach, Vayikhue Lecha, Shem and Zayizach, that Moshe needed was only 1, but the Beis HaMikdash needed much more. However, when it came to the second Beis HaMikdash, where there was a loss of Ruach HaKodesh, there was no more any Ruach HaKodesh. So they didn't need any more the menorah practical to have light for Nevuah, for Ruach HaKodesh. There was no Nevuah. The only reason they needed a menorah, because it was a chayk. For a chayk, it's enough that they only had 1, like they originally had it in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So explains the Meshech Chachma why they had the 10 additional menorahs. And once they had 10 menorahs, and the shulchan is always opposite of Neuchach, it's always opposite. A menorah, Neuchach, Shulchan. There's 1 opposite the other. Since they had 10 menorahs, they had an additional 10 Shulchanos as well. Continues the Gemara. Tani Chada Mechatzi Bayis Ulfnim Hayumunach. Where were these Shulchanos situated? They were in the half of the Beis HaMikdash towards the inside. When we are in the Kodesh, and towards the eastern part, that's considered chutz. Towards the western part, which is towards the Kodesh HaKodashim, that is towards the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash. So what the Gemara is saying here is that we learned for the Shulchanos how to be on the north part. None of them were on the south part, but in the north, there were 2 halves. There was the northeastern part closer to the eastern gate, and then there was the northwestern part, which was closer to the Kodesh HaKodashim. So the Gemara says that one brisa we learned that where were the Shulchanos, these 10 Shulchanos put? They were put in the northwestern side, inside, Lefnim, closer to the Kodesh HaKodashim. They were put in that half of the Beis HaMikdash. But then we learned in another Bais, of a Tani Chada, Mishlisha Bais Lefnim Hayim Nachem. They were in a third of the Bais, inner part, towards the western part. One says half, one says a third. Like Kash, it's not difficult. Marka Choshev Bais Kodesh HaKodashim, Bahari Hechel. One included in this discussion the Kodesh HaKodashim with the Hechel. So then you have a total of 60. Where were the Shulchanos put? From the Peroiches out 20 Amis. In that northwestern part of the Hechel. That's 20 Amis. But the total length, including the Kodesh HaKodashim, is 60. 20 of 60 is a third. Mar, like a Chashev, based Kodesh HaKodashim, Bari Hechel. The other one was not figuring the Kodesh HaKodashim. He was just looking at the Hechel itself. In the Hechel, I have 40. It's 40 long by 20 wide. So in the northwestern part, closest to the Pereiches, in that section, that's where the Shulchanos were, and that was a half of the dimensions of the length of the Hechel, which was 40 long. Half of that is 20. The bottom line is, both agree that it was in the 20 Amis, which was outside of the Pereiches. It was not in the 20 Amis that was closest to the eastern gate. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan have learned, Mizrach Umarav Hayu Menachem, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Shita is that the Shulchanos were east to west. And Tosfos tells us that our Mishnah, which says, Orchon la'orcha shalbayis, that's going like the Shita of Rebbe. Because against Rebbe is Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, I'm at Tzaf of Adarim. He disagrees. And he says the Shulchanos were not east to west. They were north to south. My Talmud Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe that says east to west? Gomer Menorah, he learns the Shulchan from the Menorah. Ma Menorah Mizrachu Ma'ariv, just like the Menorah was east to west. Ahani the Shulchan also, Nami Mizrachu Ma'ariv, they were also east to west. And the Gemara thinks that this means that the 10 Shulchanos were lined up, one right next to the other, and they went east to west in that northwestern part of the Heichal. And how do we know the Menorah itself was east to west? Since it says concerning the Ner Maravi, that Aaron should prepare the western Ner in front of Hashem, Michlal, the Kulu Lav Lufnei Hashem. The other six lights were not considered Lufnei Hashem. There's only one, Yarech Oysoi, singular. There's one that's closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lufnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. The Yisal Kedatach Tzofim V'Dorim, if you're going to say that all the lights of the Menorah were north to south, so Kulu Nan Lufnei Hashem Nenu. So they're all as close, one as the other, towards the Kodesh HaKadosh. If you say it was east to west, so then the one that was closest to the Pareiches, that one is the Ner Maravi. That's the Yarech Oysi. Then it makes sense. But if you're going to say that it was put on north to south, so they're all on the same closeness, Lifnei Hashem, to the Kodesh HaKadosh, what makes one more a Ner Maravi than the other? Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, my time. So why does Rav Elazar Rav Shimon learn? Why does he learn it was north to south? Gomer me Oren. He learns it out from the Oren. Ma Oren Sofim Adarim. Just like we explained at the top of the Yomid that the Oren was north to south, its length. Afhani Nami Sofim Adarim. These were also situated north to south. Frey the Gemara of a Rebbe Nami Ligam Oren. Why doesn't Rebbe learn out from Oren like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon? The answer is Dana Chutz Michutz. We learn out the Shulchan from the Menorah. Both of them were in the Heichal, outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vein Dana Chutz Mifnim. We don't learn out the Shulchan from the Aron. The Aron was inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Ligmar Menorah. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, why does he learn from Aron? Why doesn't he learn the Shulchan from the Menorah east to west? Amar Lach, he'll answer you, Menorah Guf, it's off of the Dharma of Imancha. My opinion is that the Menorah itself was north to south. But I have a problem with that. Elog Siv Yarch Oysoi Aaron Ubanov. As Rashi says, the Mashma Echad Lifnei Hashem Vesuloi. And the word Oysoi, it's Mashma, there was only one that was Lifnei Hashem. But if you're saying north to south, as we asked before, all the seven Neiros were close to the Pareiches. They were all Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara answers, no. The Mitzadid Lehu Atzdudei. That they were turned to the side. Now, as they were north to south, as you have in the picture over here at the bottom of the Amid, this large menorah in Rashi, so you have the ones that were on the north were facing the southern ones, the wicks of the southern ones were facing the northern ones, and the one in the middle, that one is facing towards the Pareiches. In other words, they were all north to south. You asked me what makes one more Ner Maravi than the other. The answer is that the one in the middle is the only one that's facing towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So where Rebbe held that it was east to west, and the Ner Maravi is the one closest to the Pareiches, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon agrees with everything. Rebbe and Rav Elazar have no machlokas that the wicks were all faced towards the middle one. However, Rebbe holds that it was the one that was closest to the west that's Ner Maravi, and Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says no, it was the middle one that's called Ner Maravi because it was the wick was on the side towards the Pareiches. The Sanya, we learned in our Braisa, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yerusha V'Saneris. The Rashi explains that when we're referring to Menorah here, we understand it to mean the central shaft. The other six were the Kanim. They were the pipes that came out from the central shaft. But when we refer to Menorah, we mean the middle one. So all seven should be towards the middle one. Almo pnei amenorah yirushivus adeis. Melamed shahayu mitzadim pneim klapi ne'erem tzoi. That the other six were facing, the north faced the south faced the north. They were all towards the middle ner, and the middle ner is the one that is called ner maravi. Amar Rav Nosson, mikan, from here we learn out, shem tzoi mishobach, that the one that's in the middle is mishobach. Rashi says, what is this nageya? When we, on Mondays and Thursdays, where we have three people being called up to the Torah, and we know that you can't have less than three psukim for an ola, but there's 10 psukim in total. Who gets the four psukim? The answer is the Levi, who's in the middle. He has the best aliyah. He's the one that we give the four. We see this from the Ner Ma'aravi, which was the Ner Emtsoi, towards which all the other Neros had their light shining in that direction. And now the Gemara asks, Bishlam Lamandi Yomer Mizukumar Hainu Dahavi Yesivi Asora Beshem. If you say that the Shulchanos were from east to west, so I understand that you had 10 tables. Each table was 2 amas long. That's 20 amas. That could fit into 20. Now, 20, something that's 20 can't fit into 20. You need a little extra room. But since here, if it's east to west, you don't have a wall at the end of the 20. You have the parochas, the amatraxin, on the western part. On the eastern part, it's an imaginary wall. There is no wall there. So even if it'll jut out a little bit into the eastern part of the Heichal, I have no problem with that. It doesn't have to be precisely. If it's a fraction into the eastern part, that's fine. So I could fit 20... I could fit 10 tables, which is 20 amas long, one next to the other in one row. I could fit that in 20. Elam on the Yomitzof and the Dorim. But if you're going to say, like Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon, that the tables were north to south, so I have four questions the Gemara is going to ask now. The question number one is, Yud Bechav Heichav Yasvi. Here you have north to south, you have two walls on each side. So there, it's impossible to squeeze in 20 amas of Shulchan into 20 amas of Beis HaMikdash. You need a little extra space. Vesu, and even if you'll somehow tell me that you could squeeze it in, Kohanim Heichav Yaili, how could the Kohanim go? Because we know that there were two Kohanim who went behind the Shulchan to place the new Lechem upon him. Each one was carrying six of the lechem, of the new lechem upon him. Then there were kohanim on the other side that were removing last week's lechem upon him. So how could the kohanim get through? They had a partition blocking them. What was the partition? The 10 shulchanos, which took up the whole width of the Beis HaMikdash, if it was from north to south. Vesu, a third question. Matzinu hei shulchanos bedarm. According to this, it'll come out. If it was all in one row, you'll have five tables on the south side. And Rashi says, the pasuk, we learned, Atzelet Tzofen has to be on the north side. And a fourth question. Vesu, you forgot one table. Shulchan Moshe Hechem Anachlei. Where's the table of Moshe? There were 11 tables. And you just made a cheshbon on north to south for 10 tables. You have another two amas of the 11th table of Moshe. Says the Gemara, why are you asking me a barrage of questions? Ulatamech. And according to you that you say from east to west, it's still shver. Why? Lamandi, Amr Mizrach Amar Vnami, Shulchan of Moshe, Echav and Manachle. Where did they put the Shulchan of Moshe? You told me if you have 10, which is 20 amas, so it'll jut out a fraction. That's okay, but this is not a fraction. This is a whole 11th table. It'll come out that you have two amas of a table that is in the eastern part, and you told me before it can't be in the eastern part of the Heichal. It has to be in the northwestern part of the Heichal. You can't do that with 11 tables. So, Ella, we have to come up with a new floor model. Mi Savrat Chad Dorahave. Who told you that they were all lined up one against the other in one row? Trey Dori Ninu. They were in two rows, as we see the pictures in the Rashi on top of the Tzadik Tesamet Aleph. The right hand picture is Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, where it went, the tables went from north to south. When the tables, He's doing Mizrach Marav is in the picture there is Rebbe, and the one on the left is Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, which is Dorim to Tzofen Dorim. So we see how they lined it up. You have two rows, and you have the table of Moshe in the middle. So now all our questions are answered. The first question was that we have how do you fit 10 tables in 20? The answer is you're not fitting 10 tables. All you have to fit is 5 tables because there were two rows. And the next question is, how could the Kohanim go in there? There's no room. There's room for the Kohanim to go. The next question was, you have the Shulchanis in the south. You don't have the Shulchanis in the south. They're all in the north. And then, where's the Table of Moshe? The Table of Moshe was in the middle. So you have no problems. But the Gemara is not satisfied with this. Why? Bishlai melamandi omar, tsofen vidarim shaper. If you say it was north to south, it's good. Because if it was north to south, so then you, now the Gemara is going to look at starting from the Peroches on the western side. You needed 2.5 Amos for the Kohanim to go behind the Shulchanos. As we said, there were 2 Kohanim who removed the old bread and 2 Kohanim who brought the new bread. So you needed 2.5 Amos, as we learned before by the bottom. How much space do you need for 2 people? 2.5 Amos. So you needed 2.5 Amos behind the Shulchan. Then you needed, the Shulchan itself's width was 1 Amma. Then you needed another 2.5 Amos between the Shulchan and the row of Shulchanos and the Shulchan of Moshe. Then you had an Amma of the Shulchan of Moshe. Then you had another 2.5 Amos to the next row of Shulchanos, and then you had 1 Amma of the width of the second row of Shulchanos. So if you total that up, you have 2.5, 3.5, another 2.5 is 6, another one is 7, and another 2.5 is 9.5. So from the Peroches, you go out to 9.5 Amos. Don't forget, you're here dealing with 20 Amos in length that you have there. So you have plenty of space. So that works out very well. But if we go Ella Lamandi Amar Mizrach Umayriv, but if you go from east to west, I have a problem. Why? Michti Shulchan Kama Mashal and Akaisel. Now, how much is the first row of tables removed from the northern wall? Shtei Amos Machzah, 2.5 Amos, because you need 2 Kohanim to go over there with the Lechem upon them. Then Va'ama Didei, then you have the width of the Amma of the Shulchan, of the row of Shulchanis. Then you have another Shtei Amos Machzah, the Beni Beni, between that row and the Table of Moshe. Then I have Va'ama, and the Bach puts in the word Didei, the Table of Moshe. Then I have 2.5 Amos between the Table of Moshe and the next row. Then I have the Amma Didei, another Amma for the row of tables. Ishtachik, we find, it comes out. The Ka'ochel, Rashi says the word Ochel means tofas. It took up space. Shulchan, Palga, the Amsa Bedorm. There is a half an Amma sticking out into the dorm. It's not a fraction. According to Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, where it comes out, you have like a fraction maybe sticking out. The length of the 5 tables is 10 Amos, and you only have 10 Amos to work with. There's an imaginary division between the north and the south. So 10 Amos in 10, there'll be a little light duck. We'll give the same answer as we gave before, that we're not makbid on, that little bit that might stick out into the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash. But according to Rebbe, that it's from east to west, the way we figured it out, you have 2.5 Amos and 1 Amma, and another 2.5 Amos and 1 Amma of Moshe's table, and another 2.5 Amos, and then the final Amma of the second row. That totals up to 10.5 Amos. 10.5 Amos, 2.5, 3.5, 4, 6, 7, 9.5, 10.5 comes out. You have a half Amma. You don't just have a little fraction. You have a half Amma that's sticking out into the southern part. How could you have that? Answers the Gemara, Mi Savrit Shulchan de Moshe Badai. You ever ask him, who told you that the table of Moshe was between the two rows, as you have the top pictures on the top of the Amid? Loi, that's not true. The Midli, they raised it up. The Midli lay Umanachle, they raised it up and put it down as you, like a head table, like you have the picture in the middle of the Amid. Umitzilahu, and they lowered it, Lididhu, to the other rows of tables, port a little bit, Kitalmud Ayoshev Nei Rabbi, like a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe. In other words, that between the two rows, there is not 2.5, like we said before, till you get from row one to the table of Moshe, and then from Moshe's table to the second row, another 2.5, because that would make 10.5 total. That can't be. Elamai, you pushed Moshe's table up. And Rashi explains that why is it like Ketalmud Ayoshev Rabbi? Because Rashi says that the Beis HaMikdash, the floor, was slanted, since it was on a Harabayis, so the towards the west was higher elevation than towards the east. So the rows of tables, which are more towards the east, those were lower. The table of Moshe, which was put right next to the Pareiches, closer to the Pareiches, that was on a higher elevation. So that's the Rebbe. The table of Moshe is the Rebbe, and the other tables are the Talmidim, are like Talmidim sitting in front of a Rebbe. So not only is the concept here that the table of Moshe is elevated, the other tables are lower, but the table of Moshe is more to the west, and the other tables are more to the east. And the main idea here is that there is not 2.5 and 2.5 on both sides of the table of Moshe, but rather between the two rows of tables, there's only 2.5, and then it works out very well. From the wall to the first row is 2.5. In between the two rows is 2.5. So I have a total of 2.5 plus 1, the width of the table is 3.5, plus 2.5 in between the two rows is a total of 6. Plus 1, the width of the second row, is 7, and then you have no problem with a half amma sticking out into the south. So according to Rebbe, and according to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, it works out in the northeast quarter of the Heichal. The Shulchanos were either, according to Rebbe, put east-west, or according to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, they were put north-south.